With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're listening to the Chasing Tales Outdoor Podcast, where when you can't be in the outdoors, we bring it to you. Welcome back to another episode of the Chasing Tales Outdoor Podcast. My name is Walt, his name is Chase, and each week we come to you with one simple goal, and that goal is to inspire you to get outside and hunt harder, do something you've always dreamed about doing, do something you've never attempted before having listened to this podcast. And I thank each and every one of you for being here again this week, and I'm sorry for my absence last week, but Chase, dude, huge shout out to you for picking up my dead weight there and cranking out a really fun summer scouting video or podcast.
Yeah, man, that was a good time. I was able to get a good buddy of mine on, Brandon Ogden. Last second, he agreed to come on the podcast for us, and he's got tons and tons of history with this particular piece of public that I've started to hunt. And I just thought it'd be good for somebody who had been hunting the same piece of public for over a decade to kind of come on, and he loves to scout. That's like one of his favorite things to do, and especially some summer scouting and stuff, trying to come up with a plan, getting cameras out and all that. So I figured it'd be a real good episode.
Yeah, you know, he had a deeper voice than I expected him to. I was listening to the episode and I thought I had jumped around because I'm so behind on podcasts. I was cranking through them the other day, just kind of on a fast forward speed, and he came on. I was like, God, because I swore I'd heard him talk somewhere before, but I guess I was wrong. But dude, that was a fun episode. I enjoyed, you know, it's always not fun missing the episode, but every once in a while, it's kind of fun to just tune in like a listener and see how, you know, listen from their perspective. And it was a good listen.
Yeah. It's good to be able to kind of maybe critique each other when we listen to the podcast, when we do it by ourselves. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, that was a good podcast. That went the direction I thought it would go, or maybe it didn't go in the direction I thought it would go. But it's always good to kind of get a little refresher and just to enjoy being a listener from time to time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, It was a good listen, man. I'm glad that we're still on this trend of the scouting, because this is such a vital time. You know, I think it wasn't that long ago. I mean, it was in my lifetime that summer scouting, postseason scouting, really wasn't all that popular. I mean, I don't know if you feel differently, but it seemed like in my neck of the woods, you got out about, I don't know, middle of August. You started thinking deer about July, but it was still too hot. And then, you know, maybe 3 weeks before the season, you're suddenly running to put up tree stands and trail cameras and food plots and everything. And it kind of is cool that the whitetail calendar has expanded, and a lot of people, ourselves included, reap the benefits of that.
Yep, that's for certain. I mean, we kind of schedule the Yakking for Bass Challenge at a time where we probably could be doing a little bit of summer scouting. But normally I just focus on the Yakking for Bass Challenge and kind of wait till that's kind of my marker now for when summer scouting for me starts is
sure.
I mean, I do some spring scouting during turkey season. Obviously I will have cameras out and stuff, even turkeys, deer, constantly looking for sheds or deer sign and everything else while I'm turkey hunting. And then there's that kind of that little break right there for the Yakking for Bass Challenge. And then as soon as the Yakking for Bass Challenge is over, which just ended, that's when it's time for me to go, okay, Chase, it's time to buckle down. Let's see what's going on out in the woods. Get some cameras out. Put some boots on the ground.
Oh yeah, for sure. And you know, to be fair, to give ourselves credit, you and I do a lot of scouting. We've talked about this on previous podcasts. We do a lot of scouting during turkey season, and so it's not like we just completely are derelict in our deer hunting duties. You know, we've put in a bunch of scouting. It's time to fish for a little while, which scratches that itch. And while I'm probably still going to do some fishing, I'm probably going to start really shifting my focus to trying to inventory fawn drops, which, you know, they should have happened. Well, depending on the area, you know, they should or should not have happened, or we can at least start to figure out when those does come into heat, which is something that Brett Mashburn has talked a lot about on the podcast. And I think getting familiar with the areas, even if you're not, you know, maybe you don't find that 100-inch buck or 200-inch buck that you're looking for, simply having the ability to rule areas in or out, you know, not having to go in blind during the season, having a familiarity with the land, man, I got to say that I think that is perhaps the most undervalued component of summer scouting.
Yeah, I think you're pretty much hitting the nail on the head there when you're talking about just being able to rule areas out. Yep. If you can rule a bunch of areas out and kind of narrow your focus onto some areas and really break down those areas, we've kind of talked about that a little bit on the podcast as well, is finding a chunk, breaking it down, and figuring out, okay, I know there's deer here. Let's figure out what their movements are, when the rut is. And you can do all that. You can do quite a bit of that with your summer scouting by monitoring the fawn drop, seeing if those bucks are actually using that area during the summer, or do they just move in for the rut? So there's a lot you can do right now to set you up for success in the fall.
Oh, absolutely. For sure. Yeah, it's invaluable, especially if you don't fish or anything like that, getting out there and exploring new areas. I tell you, one of the things that a buddy of mine does, you know, friend of yours as well, Andy Thompson, he rides around and he just checks to see what fields are planted in. He never leaves the AC of his truck. He just drives around and he looks for crossings in the clay soil, and he notes if there's peanuts or cotton in the field. I mean, you can do that without breaking a sweat.
Yeah. Yeah. I've did some of that last year, and it almost paid off for me at the beginning of the season. I just wasn't in the stand that day. But I plan on doing that some, or I've been doing that a little bit, just driving by some of the areas that I hunt, looking like, okay, there's watermelons over here this year, or there's peanuts or corn. So I've been taking an inventory of that as well. And there's a couple other places I need to go scout because I know they've got stuff planted. I just don't know what they are yet and need to get over there. And I plan on next week kind of buckling down and getting the cameras out, getting some fresh batteries in there, SD cards wiped, and starting the whole process.
Yep, absolutely, man. So we're going to kind of touch on that a little bit. We've got a smorgasbord, if you'll allow me to use that term here, of different things to cover today. This is kind of one of those episodes, we do them about four times a year, where we kind of shift gears a little bit. We kind of do a little refresher with you guys. We kind of talk about what's you know, near and dear to us and what's coming down the pipe, and kind of what to expect from us, because we leave one season, we go into the next, and I think it's just a good thing to kind of put a cap on things. So before we do that, I just kind of want to thank a couple people who make this podcast possible. First and foremost, we talk about how the goal of this podcast is to inspire you. We mean that. Our goal with this is to bring you stories, tips, tactics that hopefully equip you to do what you need to, but we're also building a community, and that's kind of a backbone of what we've done here with our Patreon community. We've got a Marco Polo group that is very active. If you would like to talk to people who are engineers and work on bows, who are land managers in South Florida, who can give you, you know, all kinds of awesome information about that, the management of property. You know, we have discussions where people in Kansas are like, hey, this is what I'm thinking about doing here, and they chime in. There's a wealth of knowledge. We are building slowly but surely a really good quality, positive, encouraging community that I think really is going to stand the test of time and is really going to help push everybody forward. A rising tide raises all ships. And I think one of my favorite things to do is when my phone goes off and it says that, you know, Patreon, I'm sorry, when it says, you know, Marco Polo, Patreon, Chasing Tails Outdoors, Patreon group, I'm like, oh man, here we go. You know, another good dialogue, FOC, all kinds of cool stuff, man. I mean, it's an awesome group, and we've got a new Patreon member. He joined last week. I haven't seen him in the Patreon Marco Polo group, but I'm going to send him another invitation. Derek Schaefe, he's from Loxahatchee, Florida. Great to have another Florida boy sign up for Patreon. If you don't know, we do 4 giveaways a year, and depending on your tier, you get somewhere between 3 and 5 times as many entries for being a Patreon supporter. You don't have to be to be entered in the giveaway. And at his tier, he gets a hat and a sticker and a shout out of the podcast. So Derek, thank you, buddy. Your hat went in the mail, as this was recording 2 days ago, and, you should get it here shortly. And, we're glad to have you on board.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always great when, we get new, Patreon members. And like you mentioned about the Marco Polo group, that's a great resource. Here recently, we kind of been talking about what quota hunts we drew or didn't draw for some of us, unfortunately, that didn't draw any quota hunts this go around. And as far as that giveaway, I think that giveaway is coming up here shortly at the end of this month. right?
Yeah, yeah, June 30th. So you still have a couple days to sign up. From the time this drops you, you got about a week to 10 days.
Week to 10 days, and yep. We're giving away five of the Simmons trail cameras that you've used. You've done a YouTube video on them. You had great success with them last year, and a Browning cellular cam. So that should get you to hopefully inspire whoever gets this to get outside and start their summer scouting process and start getting intel for this next season.
I can't thank the people who sign up month to month to support the podcast. You know, that money goes into us doing more. We're always going to do this podcast. The money doesn't have any impact on that. Chase and I are passionate about this. We enjoy it. We enjoy connecting with you guys and bringing you stuff on a weekly or daily basis. If you're part of social media and our YouTube channel, which I invite you guys to go figure it out. But what this money does is allow us to do more. We can travel. We can buy the equipment we need to expand the podcast. We can literally just do more. So it just helps us bring you more of the content that you enjoy, and I'm just overly thankful for everybody who signs up. But in addition to Patreon, one of our sponsors this year is Spartan Forge, and I can't tell you what's coming down the pipe because, you know, I've been told to keep it on the DL, but I can tell you this. If you haven't checked out Spartan Forge yet, or if you're just now hearing it about it, it is a predictive software unlike any other on the market that helps you make the decisions. Now, it's not going to tell you where to go, when to get there, what direction to be facing, okay? It's not like that. Think of it as like someone who can count cards and help make a decision about whether you should fold or go all in. And that's kind of how I look at this situation, because what it allows you to do is based on weather data, rut data, actual GPS tagged deer, millions of data points have been assembled to create trends and create analysis and reveal hidden movements and patterns that you may not have considered. And through a season's worth of testing, I can tell you right now, I've got the utmost confidence in it. And there's a lot of really cool stuff coming down the pipe. In fact, middle of the summer, we've got a podcast scheduled with Bill. We're going to have him back on the podcast to talk about all of this. And I'm bursting at the seams to share all this with you. But let me just say this right now. For $20, if you use the promo code ChasingTails, you can lock in a lifelong price of $20. And as he rolls out these other features, the price is going to increase upwards of $70 a year. But if you lock it in today, use the promo code ChasingTails. That tells him we sent you, and it locks in a $20 price point a year. Cheapest app in my mind that could really bring the quality of your decision making up. Because Chase, I know you got that lucky horseshoe that you just kind of know where you're going, but I sit up all night agonizing about where the heck I'm going to sit the next day.
yeah, there are times where I have analysis by paralysis or whatever, paralysis by analysis, whatever they
That's
say
right.
for tree stand issues. And yeah, I think I messed with the app a little bit last year, not as much as you did, but I went back after I killed my big buck this year and looked at what Spartan Forge was saying for that particular day, and it pretty much was right on. Just by having that and some of the stuff that you had last year were same type thing, where Spartan Forge kind of predicted where the deer movement would be for you as well. I can't wait for this app to roll out and get to using it more and hopefully finding more success in the woods.
Absolutely. I think if you're a new hunter or you're an indecisive hunter like myself, we get a lot of new hunters to this group. I can't speak to how accurate this app was in helping me refine the type of area that I needed to focus on. This is where the summer scouting meets, you know, a little bit of luck and a little bit of help here. You got to put in the time. You got to have those trail camera data. You got to have seen those deer. You have to know where you're going. But when you got 100 different places to potentially go, this app might help you pick 10 of them. And man, it was Johnny on the spot. So we are more than happy to be partnered up with them this year. And there's some awesome things to come. And maybe one day we can actually, you know, go hunting with Bill. Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh yeah, that'd be great. I mean, a couple of times I've spoke with Bill, he seems like a great guy. He's a real down to earth and everything else. So it'd be awesome to share a deer camp with him.
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, with that, why don't we talk about the Yakking for Bass Challenge, which as the time we're recording this has ended 2 days ago. And man, we had a wonderful turnout this year. A total of 265 fish were submitted by 25 anglers, which is 10.5 fish. It doesn't really matter to you guys, but I kind of think it's cool. 10.5, 10.6 fish were submitted per angler during the tournament. And dude, we had just some straight up dark horses that no one besides myself saw coming.
Well, definitely the winner. Now, second and third, well, technically the winner was a creator, so doesn't
That's
count.
Right.
So the winner I wasn't surprised about because he's always been at the top like the last 2 years. Parker McDonald's dad, Mr. Randall McDonald, he ended up winning the Yakking for Bass Challenge this year with a little bit over 106 inches, I believe.
That's right.
And then Andy Thompson was third. Definitely wasn't surprised by that.
No.
The top five kind of played out how I thought it would, other than me being first place instead of fifth place. Actually, I honestly never thought I was going to win. That's why it was my bold prediction
That's right.
for the year. I had a great time for the Yakking for Bass Challenge, like always. Unfortunately, there were some family events this year that kind of put me where I couldn't get out nowhere near as much as I've gotten out the past 2 years. I was thinking about it the other day. I wasn't even close. I didn't even come close to the amount of fishing that I had done before. I still finished top five with a good total.
Yeah.
So I was still happy with that. Ended up landing some fish later in the tournament that kind of helped propel me up to where I was. So I was happy with that. And I got to fish with you several times. So that was
– I know. How fun was that?
That was cool, right? Kind of at the beginning, we got together, did some night fishing together with Andy Thompson. We had a couple of good nights out on the water. One night I missed way more fish than I probably caught during the tournament, I think. But that's just the way it goes with night fishing. And I finally got some frog stuff figured out. And when I finally got that figured out, that's when I started having some more success in catching some bigger fish and stuff like that this year. So I think it was a great success. And, of course, there was the smack talk, as usual, on our Yakking for Bass, Marco Polo with the creators constantly going back and forth. So that's always good for a good laugh and just it gets people fired up and motivated. And I know that's what got Nick Chandler motivated this year. Right before the challenge, there was some stuff said in jest. It was all for fun, but I think he used that as motivation this year. And nobody was out on the water more than that man this year, and he definitely deserved to take home first prize in the creator bracket.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. I mean, the guy he hustled so hard. I mean, this year was so much fun. I mean, you were able to come up and fish several times, and that is such an awesome thing because you and I, you know, don't always get the most time hanging out. I mean, our bubbles of where we hunt and fish don't always overlap, but the good news is we managed to do that a couple different times the first like 10 days of the tournament right before I had a baby, and you know, it was fun, man. I mean, that was just, it's cool figuring out those lakes. Unfortunately, our honey hole is officially dry.
Right.
Since then, a sinkhole's open up, and as the cycles go, the lake drains. And where we were fishing, I think there's about 3 feet of water and precipitously dropping because it's so shallow and hot right now, and we're not getting any rain. But you know, that the lake is gone. We'll have to find another honey hole. I'll start looking now. But you know, you did well this year. You're 3/4 of an inch away from 100 inches of fish submitted. I broke my all time record. I hit 91.5 inches worth of fish. And, you know, I did that again, like I said, the first 10 days of the tournament, which is, you know, stinking awesome. Kind of similar to what you said. I made some adjustments to my tackle. I kind of learned some lessons from the past 2 years, and it paid off there in the first few days. So I'm excited with it, man. The good news is we raised several $100s again this year. I'm waiting on the invoice from Tourney X before I say the final number. Randall McDonald, you got 2 gift cards coming your way because you won both the biggest fish. And this was close, guys. So there was 2 categories this year, unlike last year. There was, you know, first place and then biggest fish, because the one theme that's happened every year is biggest, you know, we won a biggest fish category. And so we got rid of second and third place, and we just made a biggest fish. And Randall was tied with Andy for the biggest fish. And it came down to the second biggest fish, and Randall edged him out. So you've got a $100 gift card coming for first place and a $50 gift card coming for the biggest fish. And you've got a huge package of Country Boy baits headed your way. Huge shout out to Jesse for donating. I think I think it's like 10 packs of soft plastics, and they are awesome. I mean, the color scheme that he picked out is like money, dude. I know Randall, especially over there in Texas, these colors are really going to suit you, buddy. Congratulations for constantly being in the top three or four, man. I mean, he's an animal over there. Maybe one day he can teach Parker how to fish.
Maybe. I think Parker was down. I don't know where Parker – I think he was around 89 inches or something this year.
Yeah.
So yep. That's kind of been his average, I think, around 89, 90 inches for the 3 years.
Well,
he was busy.
Enough,
he was out turkey hunting and stuff like that. He didn't even get in kind of towards the end anyways, kind of midway through.
Yeah, and oddly enough, his lake actually dried up as well, so he couldn't actually fish. Yeah, so you know, extenuating circumstances for him, but he still did really good. He fished with his dad for a while, and you know, ran the camera for him. I think is what ultimately happened. It was a good time, and it's time to start shifting towards deer, dude. The draw results kind of kicked me into deer mindset, or maybe it's sitting at home thinking about being outside right now, or the new bow sight that came on the way. We'll talk about all that in a minute, but tell me, man, did you draw any good Florida quota hunts?
No, I put all of my eggs into one quota this year, knowing I probably didn't have nowhere near enough points to draw it, and was unsuccessful on the quota that I put in for. I didn't want to put in for any others. I just wanted to put in for that one because I didn't want to draw any others and lose the points that I do have. So I just put in for that one. Didn't get that one. I do still have two special opportunity hunts, the lottery hunts that I put in for that are still pending. Those are some really good hunts. So I've been told. I had never been on them, but I've been told by several people that they're really, really good. And so I went ahead and put my $5 in, kind of like that lottery ticket, hoping to maybe draw. From what I've been told, you can buy as many tickets as you want at $5 mm-hmm. a pop. But from some information that I've gotten, which you can take it for what it is that you still have decent odds of getting drawn with just buying one ticket. So I'm just like, I'll just put it out there, just try to buy one ticket and see what happens. A buddy of mine that I'm going to hunt with, he did draw one of the quotas where I killed my big buck in 2019 on. So he did draw that one. So I will at least be able to go on a quota hunt with him as a guest back to there. So we'll see if I can make something happen on that WMA again. That'd be cool. I'd love for him to kill a big buck on this one since he's the one that drew it. But the good thing is now we know about it. And we can get out there. We've got the e-bikes, and we'll be able to do a lot more scouting than we have in the past.
Yeah.
So that's my quota story as of right now. And then it'll just be redraw, and getting denied on that 25 times during the season.
Yeah. Yeah, I put in for one WMA. You know, it's no secret. I discovered the land of fruit and honey there in Georgia, and I put a lot of time into Georgia last year in anticipation of not being able to hunt as much this year due to having a child. My wife, God bless her soul, she keeps insisting that I need to quit saying that. And I think either it's going to go easier for me than I think, or it's going to go harder for her and I'm going to adjust. But either which way, I knew that I needed to have high opportunity hunts, right? I needed to know where I was going. And so I kind of invested last year into the state of Georgia's public land because the opportunities are higher. And as everybody knows who has followed this podcast for any length of time, you know that I am a huge proponent of filling the freezer first. And Georgia has very liberal either sex limits in much of the state. And in Florida, they don't like you to shoot does. And so I put a lot of time into Georgia and I stumbled on a lot of really, really tremendous hunting, up there. And so I kind of backed up and said last year, hey, where is the one spot in Florida I want to stake my claim? And I found it, made it happen. And I put in for it again this year, drew an archery hunt, which I may or may not return. I haven't decided yet because it kind of coincides with the gun opener in Georgia, if the regs come out. So I may return that one. But I did draw the muzzleloader hunt that I wanted over there as well, which is the weekend that all the big buck sign was laid, both last year and the year before in this area. So I'm pretty, like, I'm probably going to buy a new muzzleloader, CVA, if you're listening. If you wanted to send me one, that'd be great. yeah, I'm probably going to buy a new muzzleloader and get ready for that hunt, which I could also use it for a black bear hunt up in North Georgia. But, man, I might go in for some redraws if a gun hunt on that WMA pops up. But it's probably going to be Georgia or bust for me after those two quota hunts.
Yeah, yeah, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, you had a lot of success up in Georgia last year. You're not very far from Georgia, and then you can take a lot of does and fill that freezer up. So I don't see any issue with that. And who knows, maybe you'll get a redraw or something yourself and be able to find yourself hunting Florida a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, there are great places here. It's just a matter of, you know, there's one a little bit northwest of here that one of our Patreon members has turned me on to. And during archery season, I had that really nice buck on camera. I mean, I don't know that he was Pope and Young, but I mean, he had some good mass to him, and I'm interested to get a camera out and see if he made it again this year. Maybe refine where he's going a little bit more this year, trace some of those trails a little further. You know, that might be somewhere that I focus, but during archery season, I don't need a quota for that. And so, you know, it's kind of a matter of, you know, where am I going to go that produces the highest opportunity? And the good news is, one of the things you're going to see is this summer at some point in time, Brett Mashburn and I are going to get together, and we are going to go break down a couple pieces of public in Georgia, because I want his expert opinion. It's no secret that the guy kills really big deer on public land in the deep south and terrain that's very similar to where I'm hunting. And so he put a bug in my ear one day and said, or not too long back, and said, "Hey man, if you want me to come scout with you." So we're going to do a little video on that. And you know, the summer scouting will begin as soon as my wife is recovered from bringing a big, beautiful, healthy baby boy into this world. And then I'll be at it, man. So I'm pulling for you, man. I hope you get a couple good quotas.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not super worried about it. I've got my private parcels that I hunt. I've got another piece of public that I'm hunting that I'm still trying to figure out and get dialed in. I've got the one quota hunt I can hunt with my buddy, so I've got plenty of opportunity. I may also be making a trip out to the Midwest this year with Brett to Missouri. So I'm also looking forward to that. That'll be rut time, though, so that'll only be a week span there during the first week of November or so. Probably some late-season action with you. So I've already got plenty of opportunities. Oh, yeah. So sometimes I kind of think that I need all these quotas and everything else, but then you kind of like overtax yourself, and you're like, okay, maybe I didn't need that this year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, shameless plug, going back to what I said earlier in the episode, if you heard all those plans, you hear a lot of gas, you hear a lot of travel, you hear a lot of cost to get out and do these things. And, you know, Chase, I don't know what your plans are this year, but I'm going to continue to tote the camera like I did last year. I learned a lot of learned from a lot of mistakes, had some camera mishaps last year that we've come up with solutions for, and we're going to be bringing all that to you. So if you like the sound of all that, and you know, you wanted to support that, you know, shameless plug, Patreon, check it out. It's a great place to help us do more. Like we're talking about, that Missouri trip's going to be a fun one for you, especially with Brett, man. Cause Brett, I feel like, is like you in that you got a bad rep for being really lucky, when in reality you work and hunt a lot. You work really hard and hunt a lot, is what I should have said. And Brett's kind of the same way, dude. I mean, that guy just grinds, man. Like, if hard work and opportunity met, it'd be named Brett Mashburn. I mean, it has to be.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. he's always out scouting. He's been sending me pictures of that he's been getting on trail camera of the fawn drop and bucks and velvet and everything already. He's already put in who knows how many hours, 60-plus, 70-plus hours of scouting since seasons ended for him. It's nonstop. He's a 365 guy, and those 365 guys, man, year after year, you'll notice that they're getting it done. It's not luck.
Oh yeah,
they're relying on all of the intel that they've collected over the 300 days leading up to deer season, or 200 and whatever leading up to deer season, and they're able to make things happen because they've done their summer scouting. They've had the trail cameras out. They've shed hunted. They're putting all the pieces of the puzzle together. And I think that those guys are definitely always going to be successful. I mean,
absolutely.
The weekend warrior. I mean, it's hard to compete with that when you've got guys that are just enthralled with it. That's what they live for. But they also have a lot of good advice. That's why we have this podcast, for people to listen to and maybe be able to utilize some of the stuff that they found out putting in all them hours and shorten the learning curve for everybody.
Yeah, no, I agree. Absolutely. That's why we build that community. Again, shameless plug. It's why we build that community, because Brett is very selfless and open with that information in that community. He's always taking the time to show us visually in that Marco Polo app where he's going, why it's important, what he's getting there. It's awesome to benefit from guys like him, because I tell you, you talk about motivating when you're sitting at home in February and he's like showing you a bumper full of friggin' like 30 deer sheds, from Alabama. I mean, people in Kansas would be raving about that kind of day. And here's this guy in low country of Alabama coming out with sheds where people go years without seeing a single one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. how many, because Florida is definitely not a shed state for sure. I found them, but my goodness, I had to put some miles on the ground, and it seems like, how did I find this like 3-inch spike shed? You know what I mean? It's not, right. Not even a big, like 5-point side or something like that. It'd be like a 3-inch spike shed. You're like, holy cow, how did I even see that? But I found a little bit of them, but I just, over the years, the amount of hours and stuff that I was putting in searching for sheds, I was just like, it's just not conducive for me down here. I don't believe. So, but
no.
My hat's off to him for doing it.
Oh, absolutely, for sure. So this kind of part of the episode, I've got my notes here. I've got a couple different arenas we can hit. Is there anything specifically you had in your mind you wanted to touch before I maybe poke the bear on some of these topics?
No, man. Let's go for
it. Okay. All right, here we go. So my question for you, Chase, first and foremost, on the topic of summer scouting, what are your plans, dude? Like, what are you going to do between the months of June and August to get ready for this upcoming year?
Between June and August, well, like I mentioned earlier, it's time to get trail cameras out. I'm definitely going to put trail cameras out. I've got to put some trail cameras out on this piece of public that I'm going to be hunting for the second year in a row. Didn't get to summer scout it really last year. I scouted it maybe a month, maybe before the season started, is when I got in there, started scouting some, with my buddy. So I'll be able to get in there a little bit earlier, be able to get some cameras out, get some more, boots on the ground in areas that I haven't been able to get to or wasn't able to get to last year. Have the e-bikes to kind of help out with that some. Still doesn't take away all the legwork you do once you actually get to the spot. it just kind of gets you back to some of the areas a little bit quicker. So on that piece of public, that's my plan, is to kind of get familiar with the terrain. It's got swamps. It's got pine flats. I mean, it's got a good little mix, Okamix. It's got a good mix of everything. And I kind of want to dial in, okay, where are these deer spending a lot of time bedding? Where are the doe groups? There are a lot of does on this WMA. Maybe if I can kind of get figured out, okay, what are the does doing during the summer? See if that pattern holds. See when, maybe get some fawn intel. Maybe I can tell, okay, maybe, because last year when I hunted there, it seemed like there was a lot of rut activity that second and third week of October last year, which was kind of early for there from what I understand. Normally it would be kind of the tail end of October as opposed to early October. But in the area I was and some of my buddies, we all agreed that a lot of the activity, rut activity, was going on that kind of end of the first week up until the third week of October in the areas that we were hunting. That's my goal there, just to learn it more. On my private areas, I've got them dialed in quite a bit, but I want to find a target buck. that's always my goal on the private areas, is to get a target buck and try to get him dialed in. I don't necessarily know that I'll have one this year. There were a couple of bucks that I know that made it at the end of the season last year. I don't remember seeing them during the summer, though. I don't know if they moved in kind of towards the late in the year or not. But if I could get them, but I did kill the big 9-point, which I think was keeping a lot of competition out of that area. So I'm hoping maybe a new buck's moved in, and hoping maybe I can catch them in velvet, catch some of the bachelor groups, continue to monitor the fawn drop in there. I'm pretty sure they've all dropped by now, according to my calculations. It's been, what is it? It's about 7 months gestation for a doe.
Yep.
So I think a lot of them get bred in one of the areas, kind of November, December area. So they should all pretty much be dropped. And the other piece has got a lot of October, so I know they're dropped in there. The other areas is definitely has a ton of does. They did a lot of clear cutting in there after the season was over. So it's going to be new. I'm going to have to get in there, and maybe I'm going to have to find some different areas to hunt. I'm probably going to be it's going to be more observation hunts in there maybe for me this year. I do have some of my predominant areas, but I feel like I'm going to be setting up in observation areas quite a bit this season, unless I can get some stuff on camera early. Generally, I don't get a lot of good bucks early on camera in there. But as the rut starts to roll around, because there's so many does, big bucks start showing up in that area. So if I can get a big buck located on either one of those properties, I'll be ecstatic, something to give me a goal, dial in. I do have the 10-point that I had at 10 yards last year, but he was on the other side of the fence. And I think that buck's going to be 7 years old this year. So we'll see what he does. I know he made it through the season. So I'm sure he'll be in the same area that he's been being in the last 3 or 4 years. So I would love to kind of get him dialed in, but I've never really had a summer pick of him, like only one summer pick of him in like 3 or 4 years. So I don't think he really summers on that property, but he definitely shows up during the season for sure. But if I could get him located during the summer, that'd be great. And then I'm going to be doing scouting. I'm going to be putting out some cameras and hopefully doing some scouting with my buddy for this quota hunt. Maybe get a camera or two out there, try to figure some stuff out. It's not a huge management area. I know the area I hunted. I really like that area a couple of years ago. But there's also some other areas that I'd like to break down a little bit more and see if some of that traditional sign that was there from years before is still in those areas. I don't know if they've done any cutting or anything in there. It's always a possibility. So I definitely want to get in there early, a lot earlier than I have been on quotas in the past. Generally, they've got gates locked and everything else. And if you didn't have a bike or a horse or something like that, then you weren't going back there. So now that the e-bike's in the picture, we can get in there, do a lot more scouting before the quota gets there, and hopefully have an idea of where we're going to hunt and not even have to go in there the day before and put scent out and kind of booger the deer up some. So that's my plans between now and August.
Dude, you are busy. Yeah. You've got a lot on your docket, sir. But I did give you a 3-month period, so.
Yeah. I mean, that's my plan. And now, is all of that going to happen? Maybe some of it can be put off some. I mean, the quota hunt can be put off a little bit because it's not until October. So I don't necessarily have to get there. It'd be nice maybe to get there once, you know what I mean? Maybe spend 4 or 5 hours out there and then maybe get back there in September some. Those are my plans. I've kind of shifted. I used to kind of be where I wanted to kill, like, and now we have 5 tags now. Like, okay, I want to kill 5 big bucks. You know what I mean? Like, that was my goal. I was like, I'm going to kill 5 big bucks. But really, I think, like, even over last year, I had a chance to kill 4, but things didn't work out for me last season. I mean, it all paid off in the end, but it definitely didn't work out in the beginning. But my mindset's kind of changing some to where I really don't – it's not that I have to kill – because some of them, like I said, they might be able to use another year, but they would still be a big buck to most people in Florida. And I think I just want to – I kind of like, maybe on the public, I won't be as focused as much, but definitely on the private areas, I've kind of gotten to where I just want to take one really good buck. If I can locate one really good buck and take that one really good buck, then I consider that a good season now. As to where in the past where I'd be like, all right, I'm bloodthirsty. gotta kill any good buck that comes out. I think my mindset's kind of changing a little bit. And I'm focusing on more, okay, I want to enjoy the process and I like the chess match and all of that stuff where to if I made it to the end of the season and I didn't kill a buck on those areas, then I wouldn't be bummed out about it.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean – I have faith in you. I mean, last year I got the best FaceTime I've ever gotten from a deer hunter, and I expect more of that, sir. I would have done the same. Actually, I did. I think
you did. I think you did yeah. FaceTime me when you killed your buck at post COVID buck there.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's always fun, man. That was great. It was good. I mean, heck, I got to trail the deer. I'm on FaceTime with you at the same time.
Yeah.
Get to come up on it. So the biggest buck I'd ever killed in Florida, sitting there. So it was freaking awesome, man. That was a great experience. And we need to, how about you talk about your summer scouting? Because last year I got several comments from different people, some listeners, some people that follow the Instagram, and they're like, man, Walt is hammering it this summer. Like, he is really getting on it with his scouting last year. They were like, man, he's dialed in. So what is your summer scouting going to change a little bit, because you have the little one that you have now that you have to kind of take care of and stuff. What's your summer scouting going to look like?
Well, you know, you're right. I've got the little guy to take care of, but the benefit is I don't go back to work until September.
Right.
And so I've got a lot of time there. I'm kind of taking the month of June, and I'm going to focus on really getting my wife, you know, back to where she's feeling good and getting her back in the groove of things and getting him established. But you know, I think I scratched the surface. Last year was a lot of speed scouting. I started in July, and just, dude, I mean, you can attest to this. It was like early December before I really settled on a spot and felt like I was really honed in, and I had figured out their summer to fall pattern. And so that now that I kind of have that idea of how these deer act up there, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to get up there probably about as often, maybe more, as I did last year. And I've got a fleet of 20 trail cameras, all but three of which are going to be deployed by the end of the summer. That's my goal. They're all going to be in transition areas, or the style of transition area that I have found these deer prefer, up there in South Georgia. It's different. It's not what you would normally think. And once I found it, it was just consistently getting on bucks, which was cool. I mean, I think at one point I said on the podcast, I was getting more bucks on camera than I was does. And that never happens in Florida,
right?
At least not for me, you know? So it's going to be a lot of trail camera work, because what I've done is I've found a pattern. I want to try and replicate that pattern elsewhere. I want to inventory when I can, you know, when did does start to drop their fawns, because the rut is very fluid over here in this neck of the woods still. And so one block of timber may come into rut a little bit sooner than the other, and I want to be able to bounce around. But I would say I covered about 5 to 10% of the areas that I wanted to last year. And so I'm going to, now that I have a kayak, which was delayed last year, and I've got a trolling motor on the way, I'm going to start trying to water access a lot of those areas that were really good, but maybe you kind of busted the area on your way to get to where you were going from the land. But if you could come in from the water, you could do it a little more quietly. I don't know if that makes sense, but
right.
It's going to be a lot of that. I'm fingers crossed. I had a really good encounter. I was about 30 minutes behind what I consider a great buck. I think he probably could have gone 80 to 100 inches. I was 30 minutes behind him one day in early December because the wind wasn't quite right, and it was blowing down into where I had established was a bedding area. And long story short, he came through, the wind shifted, I walked up the hill. And as I walked up the hill, the trail camera caught me exactly like 29 minutes after he had walked through. And you know, it was well after daylight at that point in time. So I'm going to try and find him. That's one of the things I'm going to try and get Brett to help me with, is establish where is he coming, where is he going, where might he be hanging out. And I'm trying to find, I'm starting to shift a little bit because the opportunities are better.
I'm trying to find a couple 80 to 100 plus inch deer that I can really hone in on, and try and really continue the trend of scouting all the way up until the rut and getting on those deer then.
It sounds like you're feeling confident in your abilities up there, and that's always a plus. So, but yeah. Whereas before you're like, ah, if brown is down, it's going down. I think that it's just how kind of different it is from Florida, and your ability to be able to kind of predict maybe deer movement up there better. I think maybe your scouting is probably more efficient up there.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've always maintained that I'm brown it's down in this area because there isn't an abundance of good opportunities for trophy deer, you know? I mean, right. You can only hunt, we've talked about this numerous times, and if you're a new hunter, you can only hunt what's on the landscape.
Yep.
And in my area, there aren't a lot of, like, you know, there aren't a whole lot of 8 points. There aren't a whole lot of 7 points. And so in this area, I can't, I'm selling myself short if I buy the license and I do all the work, if I don't shoot what that work provided. And in Georgia, I very quickly established that the opportunity is higher. It seemed like every time I went hunting, I got a lot of deer. I mean, dude, my cell camera, the coolest thing last year, and I'm sure you got sick and tired of me talking about it and sending you photos, but it was like every day I had daylight active deer throughout the entirety of the season on my cell cameras in Georgia. On public land.
Right.
Like, blew my mind how often that was happening. That just doesn't happen around here. And so, if I'm hunting Florida in these areas and like that WMAP put in for, what I shot last year will get shot again this year, first and last tag, because I think that's a terrific deer. But you're right. I am starting to feel a little bit more confident. I feel like I don't feel the panic of, like, around here, it's one of those situations where it's like you might get one or two opportunities the whole year on an average deer, and you got to make the most of it. When I'm up in Georgia, it's like, dude, relax, have fun, soak up the process. You know, the day I killed my buck, very last day, very last few minutes of daylight, I was just sitting there with a gun across my lap, enjoying the fact that I was outside for the first time in 14, 15 days. And, you know, out walks a, I don't know what he was, but he's a great little 7-point buck. And I was more than happy to take him. And I probably, to be honest with you, would take him with my first or last tag in Georgia again. And so that kind of like happenstance for me doesn't happen in Florida. You got to work really hard and you might only get one opportunity. And that comes with a lot of stress for me.
Right. Oh, yeah. You
know, not like gnashing of teeth stress, but it's a different ball game. That's my goal for summer. One of my questions for you is, this is tis the season to tinker. And since I'm stuck at home, I've started tinkering in advance. I'm trying to be methodical. You know, I recognize I had a monologue a couple weeks back about, you know, making the most with your money, doing the best you can with what you've got to offer. And so I kind of want to talk about any gear that you may be planning on changing this year. Are there any gear items that you're like, man, I really can't wait to do X?
Not really. The only thing that I'm trying to figure out now is my arrow setup for my bow. Been getting that dialed in. Actually went and spent some time with Brandon Ogden's dad. We got some things figured out with my bow. Which is good. And really, once I get that dialed in, I don't see myself changing much. I'm hoping to get some tethered one sticks and kind of get those modified with some eighters. And that's going to be it. I've got my camera set up already, pretty much got everything dialed in, ready to rock and roll for the season. I don't really need to tinker with anything per se. I'm really just want to be focused on the deer this year. And I think everything that I've got now will easily get me through the season, and it'd be one less thing to kind of worry about.
Yeah. Well, okay. In stark contrast to Chase Prince, I'll be changing a couple things. Really not that much. Last year, the backpack that I got, while it is doable, it is a terrible backpack for my body shape. It's too long. I'm too short. It's not adjustable. So I'm going to probably make a change there. I think I'm probably going to run with that Mystery Ranch pop-up 28.
I use their backpacks in Colorado. It's a great buy for the money, but most importantly, it's got an adjustable yoke so that it fits my back. But one of the things I'm tinkering with now is I got a screaming deal the other day on an HHA Optimizer Ultra 3-pin.
Right.
It was like 10:30 at night, and I sent it to you. It looked like it was some from Podunk website, and you convinced me to order it and see if it'd come in, and it did. And I was kind of – have you ever seen those memes on Facebook where it's like, I ordered this, but – you know, from Wish, and it's supposed to be this, and it comes out that, and it's right. Like not even close. I was kind of worried it was going to be one of those things, but no, lo and behold, it's a genuine HHA product, and I'm excited. And the reason why I'm going from the single pin that I already have to the multi-pin is because, as you guys know, I am very passionate about getting things on camera. And one of the difficulties that I found very quickly was that, you know, you'd range the deer at 30 yards, you're getting the camera around the tree, you're getting it on, and now he's at 20. Or, you know, you go to draw and the deer bounds off. And yes, you could have woodsmanship and you can aim high and all that good stuff. But for me, I kind of wanted to have a 20, 30, and 40 yard pin just so I could, if he's within my wheelhouse, which 40 yards is the pretty much right now the limit of my wheelhouse, I'm going to take a shot on a whitetail. I've got a pin for that, and maybe I have to use a little bit of pin gap, but I've got another reference point. I can dial it in if I need to, you know, if I've got the time and the deer's just feeding underneath the tree and it's 34 yards precisely, I'll just dial the dial to 34 and I'll be done with it. But, I wanted to kind of relieve a little bit of the, process, the necessary steps to shoot something on camera, because dude, I adore it.
Yeah. I switched to a 3-pin last year. 3-pin slider. It's a black gold sight, kind of at the tail end of last year. Haven't shot anything with it yet, but I same kind of thing where you go into a little bit heavier arrow. You're not really wanting to have to adjust every time, especially if you're going to be on the camera, maybe range finding and stuff. And in Florida, it's a different ball game sometimes. Like, when you see the deer, sometimes you've got split seconds to make a decision if you're going to get a shot or not. It's not like you see them coming from a long ways most of the time. It's you hear something, you look up, oh, shoot, there's the deer. Okay, I've got to be ready and get on it. And if I can just take away like that one little step maybe of having to adjust, then might be the difference in getting a deer or not. And I'm kind of saying, I really don't want to take long shots at deer. I know some people that doesn't really bother them. When I'm really honed in with my bow, I feel super confident. Last year I was dealing with a pinched nerve for a lot of the season. And to be honest with you, I didn't feel confident shooting past like 35 yards. You know what I mean? Like last year, it was that big of a bother for me. And it cost me a buck that we showed on YouTube. One of the YouTube videos that we did, because I knew at the angle, I just wasn't going to be able to draw my bow back. I probably should have lowered the poundage last year, but I'd already did so many things to the bow anyways that I was like, I'm not going to mess with anything, anything more at this point. But yeah, I feel you on that, and I'll be interested to see your feedback on it, because it's a really nice sight. I mean, the one that you got a stellar deal on it. And I figured it was legit because it was kind of one from one of those like little farm stores that where it's not really their niche to sell those things. And people probably don't look on those sites to begin with for a sight. So I was like, you know what? This is probably legit because they're probably just trying to get rid of some inventory and people aren't normally drawn to their site for that type of thing. So I figured it would work out for you.
Yeah, well, and it benefits. I'm a lefty, so they may have been sitting on that thing for
hot
second. Yeah. You know, like
yeah, exactly. That always helps.
yeah, for sure. So, I mean, that's really the only things I'm changing. I'm a big proponent of doing the most you can with what you've got, obviously. And so, for me, kind of, you know, I sat back and I just kind of assessed what I needed. You know, I'm talking about doing a bear hunt up in the mountains and doing a deer hunt up there as well with my little brother. And so I kind of need a bag that I can take some layers, take some food, but also take some meat out. And so I'm going to make that change and go with the Mystery Ranch. I'll probably have to buy a muzzle loader, but that's not, you know, some big investment. You know, it's a
Right.
You know, I've got the process down and everything. So, but yeah, I'm not changing a whole lot, man. I was kind of hoping you were going to blow me out the water and be like, yeah, man, I ordered a custom Hoyt and, and a dozen new arrows, and the Ranch Fairy was going to put them all together for me.
I mean, you know me. I mean, I could change bows tomorrow. I mean, if it just hits me and I go, you know what, I'm getting a different bow, then I could go get it. I have no plans on doing that. Doesn't mean it won't happen.
Okay.
That's the thing. That's the kicker. I don't have plans on doing that, but I could.
Yeah. And, well, here's the deal. You just have to keep us posted.
Yeah, yeah. And that's we're on here weekly anyways. So sometimes I change and just go, you know what? I don't like this. I'm gonna switch it up, or flavor of the week type thing. Sometimes that seems how my bows have kind of been. Anyway, although I've had some good ones. To begin with, and some of them I'm just like, why did I get rid of that? I shot great with it. Yeah. So one of the bows that you shot horrible with, I shot probably the best ever with, and then I ended up getting rid of it.
Yep.
And I was like, why did I get rid of that bow? I mean, I mean, you came to my house that one time we shot, and then I was able to hit like a daggum sticker at 100 yards with that bow.
It was nuts.
And for some reason, I got rid of it. And I think it was because it wasn't fast enough. It was one of those deals where I was like, you know what?
That's what it was.
I need more speed, because I've always been this kind of this obsessed with speed for some reason. And you never really had problems with passing through deer for the most part in Florida. And I always went for a double lung shot to begin with. So I never had a lot of those. I never had any of those horror stories that a lot of people have had with that. And back at the beginning, I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, oh, arrow, broadhead, bow. Okay, cool. I mean, I didn't even think about the science behind any of it. And I was probably shooting like a 400 grain arrow with a mechanical, zinging it, because I didn't even have to make any adjustments up till about 30 something yards. 33 or 34 yards. I didn't even have to really compensate for anything. And that's why I liked it.
Single
because
pin.
The shots were so quick. And I'm like, okay, just put it on them. 0 to 34. Here I go. Back then, but and sometimes I think we kind of get caught up in some of that stuff where it's like this is the big and hot item right now, and that I got to make the switch because of stuff that's happened to other people. Now I know when I go up to Missouri, I'm gonna want that bigger, because I mean, deer are just bigger up there, thicker, lot bigger bone structure than down here. For here, I mean, if it's not broke, well then why try to fix something that's not broke. That's kind of been my mentality, and I kind of got away from that for a little bit of just like, okay, everybody's doing it, I should be doing it too. At this point, so I think I'm gonna, and I've got a heavier setup now and everything, so I'm happy with that. And once we get the bow dialed in, I'll be ready to rock and roll and ready to get in the stand and put something down. So I other than that, I'm all my guns and everything else, everything's, I mean, it's all the same. It's all dialed in. So not a lot. And I bought a pack last year. A lot of stuff I bought last year. Like, I bought a ton of stuff last year. And I plan on, and I got a good system down, and I just plan on using all that again this season.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm excited. You know, the tethered one sticks, we're going to get to play with those this year. I'm excited. But I mean, I'm just excited to get out and do some hunting, man. I'm hoping you and I can get together a couple times this year and hunt, because the content's just always better whenever we do that. We got to do it for turkey season.
Yeah.
So let's think about this. Yep. We did it for turkey season. We did it a couple times for bass. Now what we need to do is get together at least one time for summer scouting, and then a couple times this deer season, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to get up there and do some scouting with you, during the summer for sure.
Yeah.
Check out some of the land. Check out the land of milk and honey that you call.
Oh, man. Well, with that note, sir, unless you got anything else you want to talk about, I think we should let these fine ladies and gentlemen get on with their day.
The only thing I really have kind of left to say is we haven't said it in a super long time, and I don't know how much it matters, but if you enjoy the podcast and you haven't left us a rating or review, we would love to get a rating or review from you. I know we harped on that for a little while. We kind of got away from it. And if you're a new listener, and we'll give you a shout out on the podcast, if you give us a rating or review, we really love the feedback. And if you would join our Facebook pages, that'd be great too. We just put out some polls and stuff. We're trying to get the podcast dialed in to what you guys want. And that way we can kind of focus on what guests we need to get on the podcast. And maybe take care of that in advance. You and I both got a lot of stuff going on right now. So if we can get if we can figure out what everybody wants and get people lined up and get these podcasts hammered out and get you guys the content that you need. So those are two little things that I'd like to mention.
Good call, man. Yeah, you know, on the review side of things, we used to do it, and you're right, man. We haven't done this in a while, and some of this is just by virtue of there's just so much to pack into this. I don't want to just, you know, jabber on forever, but our old offer stands. I got a plethora of stickers here. If you leave us a rating review, send us a screenshot, I'll send you a sticker just to say thanks. We'll get that out in the mail to you. And you're right about the polls. I'm glad you mentioned that, because that actually was something I wanted to talk about, because you're right. It was an idea we had, like, hey, how do we make this all about you guys, all about what you want? And so we're going to try it on a little test basis here. If you guys go find that poll, I will include a link to the Facebook group in the show notes. So just scroll down. You can find it. It's also posted and pinned to our Facebook page. But we're going to pull the hot topics from that. We're going to find guests for you guys. And if all you want to hear are scouting content, that's all we're going to bring you, by and large. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're probably going to get on here and do something like this. But we want to bring you guys the biggest bang for your buck. We're just trying something new to make sure you guys are getting what you want. So, Chase, dude, good job on that.
Yeah.
There's a reason why we pay you the big bucks.
Leave us a comment on people that you'd like to have on the podcast. Like, if there's people that you'd like to have on the podcast that we can reach out to, or you can introduce us to them, that'd be great. I mean, we're constantly kind of in search for people. It always seems like it's kind of hard to kind of find some Florida people. We've kind of focused a little bit on Florida, to where there's a lot of secretive guys out there in Florida don't really want to give away all their information, but I know there's guys out there that are willing to help everybody out, be able to give some information out there to help out a bunch of new hunters or people that have been hunting for a while, trying to figure it out. And there's plenty of guys that are just big time killers in Florida that just nobody knows about because it's just not publicized, or any other of the southeastern states. So if you know anybody you think that you want to hear on the podcast, send us the names and we'll start reaching out to them.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I appreciate you. That's a good point. So, guys, we've given you enough instruction. We've given you enough of what's to come from us. And I hope you guys are enjoying your summer. You're getting outside. You're enjoying this content. I'm going to start ramping up the YouTube videos. We're going to start getting those going here in the coming weeks. Not right now, but in the coming weeks, we're going to start trickling those back in. And as always, guys, the most important thing is, having listened to this episode, do us one favor. Get outside and enjoy the great outdoors.